WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. The town of Broadway becomes the third in the valley to stop fluoridating its drinking water. Democrat Ken Mitchell suspends his campaign for Congress and throws his support behind Beth Macy in the 6th District. And Virginia state revenues exceed expectations, but there are warning signs ahead for Virginia's economy. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, May 21st. This spring, Broadway became the third small town in the Shenandoah Valley in about a year to decide to stop fluoridating its drinking water. The choice mirrors statewide fluoride bans in Utah and Florida and skepticism from the U.S. Health Secretary, but it remains rare among Virginia municipalities. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
Timberville was the first to ditch fluoride, with a unanimous town council vote last March. Lou Ray followed suit in June on a split vote. A few weeks ago, Broadway town residents got a notice on their bill that their water supply would no longer be fluoridated as of August 1st.
I was actually a little horrified. I was surprised, and I knew that I had to speak out.
Olivia Haimani is a Broadway resident who spoke in support of fluoride at the May town council meeting.
I felt like we should have gotten notified that they were thinking about doing this.
Fluoridated tap water has become widespread in the U.S. over the past 80 years and is touted by proponents as one of the greatest public health achievements of the century for its role in improving dental health. According to the CDC, children with access to drinking water with optimal fluoride levels have 25% fewer cavities than those without.
Fluoride works in a couple ways. It prevents the loss of minerals from tooth enamel, so making it stronger, and it prevents bacterial activity.
Isabel Stitt Fredericks is the Senior Program Manager of Water for Virginia Health Catalyst, an education and advocacy organization promoting oral and overall health.
Fluoridation helps prevent tooth decay across populations, really regardless of your age, your socioeconomic status, your insurance status, or even, you know, your ability to regularly access dental care.
Anti-fluoride groups successfully sued the Environmental Protection Agency in recent years, prompting the agency to begin an ongoing review of the health impacts of fluoride in drinking water. That decision was influenced by an analysis of existing research conducted by the National Toxicology Program, which expressed moderate confidence in a link between lowered IQ and fluoride levels of 1.5 milligrams per liter of drinking water, just over twice the CDC recommended amount of 0.7. Stitt Fredericks noted much of that research took place in other countries where natural fluoride levels are much higher and less regulated than in the U.S.
I think most importantly, that review did not conclude that the optimally fluoridated levels we see here are unsafe.
According to meeting minutes, town council members in Timberville, Luray, and Broadway cited the cost of fluoride, between $5,000 and $20,000 a year, the corrosiveness of the concentrate, and the principle of free choice as reasons to ditch the additive. Broadway Mayor Dave Jordan declined to do an interview with WMRA at this time while he weighs community feedback. Haimani feels the Broadway Town Council made their decision with inaccurate information.
My mom didn't have access to fluoride until she went to college at 18, and the dentist can tell she did not have access to fluoride growing up. We had a well. I was lucky that my mom was able to talk to the dentist about that because she had learned from her own experiences, and I was supplemented with fluoride. I've never had a toothache.
Fluoride doesn't just get added to our water. Depending on the geology of your water source, some amount of it is likely present naturally. Aaron Ling, who coordinates the Virginia Household Water Quality Program for the Virginia Cooperative Extension, says there's relatively low fluoride levels throughout most of the Valley and Piedmont regions.
So in most cases, we're seeing less than 0.5 milligrams per liter of fluoride naturally in the water.
Ling said statewide, 20% of residents are on well water. In Rockingham County, it's 60%. Her program recommends that those with naturally low fluoride levels in their well water talk to their dentist about fluoride supplements.
So our hope is really just to make sure they're as informed as they can be so that they can make, you know, educated decisions about their water system and their family's health and safety.
Rockingham County does provide treated water to some residents. Their largest system, Three Springs, serves around 18,000 people from McGackiesville to Mount Crawford. It treats 3.8 million gallons of groundwater a day from two wells, with a third under construction. Treatment operations manager Tim Harris pointed out the system's turbidity monitor, showing low levels of sediment in the water.
Water coming out of the ground, that's better than some places get with finished water. And
They won the Best Tasting Water Award from a statewide association in 2023, which Harris credits to the purity of the groundwater there, just below Massanutten Mountain near the South Fork of the Shenandoah River. They get concentrated fluoride in 330-gallon cube-shaped totes, which the employees have to wear special rubber gloves and an apron to unload.
Every day, 365 days a year, we have to measure the fluoride in the water.
He showed me the process, in which a calculator-sized tool called a colorimeter reads how much light passes through a water sample, which is altered by the concentration of fluoride. That day, it was 0.73 milligrams per liter.
At what point would you see a reading? Would it be like at 8, where you're like, okay, we need to decrease, you know, what's going through the pump?
The technology is so good with these pumps that never happens. If anything, I'll find that the level is too low. It'll be, the pipe will be clogged up or something. It's never high. And that's because our water gallons per minute stays the same.
In contrast, water customers' opinions on fluoride, here as elsewhere in the valley, are all over the map. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
We've posted links to lots more information for you at WMRA.org. and on our app. Democrat Ken Mitchell has suspended his campaign to represent Virginia's 6th congressional district in the upcoming midterm election. The Daily News Record reports that Mitchell is now backing Democratic candidate Beth Macy, an author and former journalist for the Roanoke Times. Mitchell is the second candidate to end his campaign for the Democratic primary following Pete Barlow's withdrawal last month. Mitchell said he was bowing out because he felt a united Democratic base would improve the party's chances of unseating Republican incumbent Ben Klein, who announced his re-election bid earlier this week. Mitchell unsuccessfully ran against Klein in 2024. The Democratic primary is set for August 4th. Election day is November 3rd. Access to health care is emerging as a focus for Democrats seeking to unseat Republican members of Congress this year. Radio IQ's Michael Pope reports.
A quarter of a million people in Virginia will end up losing their health care as the result of Republican cuts to Medicaid. That's according to the Kaiser Family Foundation. Rodrigo Soto at the Commonwealth Institute says the federal government is prioritizing the wealthy and well-connected over low and moderate income people.
This massive health care cut was passed by congressional Republicans in order to fund massive tax handouts to the ultra-wealthy. So while 260,000 of our community members lose their health care coverage, the top 1% in Virginia are expected to get an average tax cut of nearly $80,000.
That's because of H.R. 1, which Republicans call the One Big Beautiful Bill. Speaker of the Virginia House Don Scott calls it the Big BS Bill, and he doesn't say BS.
The people who made these decisions, they need to be held accountable. Jen Kiggins, McGuire, they need to be held accountable for every hospital that closes, every family that loses coverage, and every Virginian forced to pay the price for their recklessness.
Republican Congresswoman Jen Kiggins of Virginia Beach is in the most competitive race in Virginia. And Republican Congressman John McGuire of Goochland is in a seat the UVA Center for Politics rates as likely Republican. I'm Michael Pope.
The University of Virginia has launched a new virtual primary care on-demand service for patients throughout the state. UVA health officials said the new service allows patients to connect with UVA Health from work, home, or any other location in Virginia. They said that the new service is designed to address unmet needs in primary care. UVA health officials hope that this new access could ease crowding at emergency rooms, where patients sometimes go instead of seeing a primary care doctor because they can't get an appointment. UVA continues to offer primary care in physical locations. Full disclosure, UVA Health underwrites programming on WMRA. Virginia state revenues continue to exceed expectations, but there are warning signs ahead for Virginia's economy, according to the state Secretary of Finance. The Virginia Mercury reports that Secretary Mark Sickles told lawmakers this week that Virginia's economy is showing increasing signs of strain from slower job growth, rising inflation, and weakening consumer confidence. Sickles said Virginia has lost nearly 42,000 jobs since the start of the fiscal year 2026, while general fund revenues remain more than $850 million ahead of forecast. Governor Abigail Spanberger found herself on the defensive with reporters on Wednesday. She fielded questions about 28 amendments she made to legislation from the General Assembly, amendments that were all rejected by lawmakers.
That's their prerogative, but then when it comes to the bills that I'm signing, important in that discussion is how impactful to the ultimate success or durability or implementation of that bill the amendments I put forward were.
So far, Spanberger has only signed two of the bills with rejected amendments. One of the bills Spanberger did sign, legislation that will provide paid sick days for Virginians, the culmination of a years-long effort by state Democrats. The new law requires employers to provide workers with 1 hour of paid sick leave for every 30 hours worked. They can collect a maximum of 5 paid sick days per year.
Whether you or a loved one are sick or, you know, welcoming a baby or dealing with long-term illness, that you have the ability to take the time that you need with your job protected and the ability to pay your bills.
These benefits are for both full and part-time employees and should start accruing after July 1st. Well, finally today, Spanberger also took more immigration-related actions on Wednesday, signing one bill and one executive order while vetoing another effort. Radio IQ's Brad Kuttner reports.
That's the sound of immigration advocates, dreamer mothers in action, delivering drawings made by their children to Governor Spanberger's offices. They were hoping to shore up support for an effort that would force Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agents, or ICE, to get judicial warrants before trying to detain people in courthouses and other so-called protected spaces. But Spanberger vetoed that legislative effort and instead signed an executive order she said would offer similar protections via new guidance for when ICE arrives on state grounds.
We at the state government can dictate where federal agents can come. That is not a promise we can keep. I do not want people to have a false sense of security, but I do want to ensure that those working at hospitals and schools and courthouses and Commonwealth's attorney's offices do have best practices.
Fairfax area Senator Saddam Saleem and Charlottesville delegate Katrina Carlson authored their respective chambers' versions of the Protected Spaces bill. In a joint statement, both said they were disappointed with the governor's veto, and in a phone call, Carlson expressed frustration with the executive order's lack of a deadline.
One thing that I would really push her on is making sure that it happens sooner rather than later. We know people are getting arrested in courts in Virginia right now.
Spanberger also signed a bill limiting when law enforcement officers, including federal agents, can wear face masks in the Commonwealth. Here's Richmond area delegate Charlie Schmidt, who authored the anti-masking bill.
We must hold all law enforcement to a high standard of constitutional policing and hold them accountable if they engage in behavior that terrorizes the community.
Saleem also authored the successful masking bill in his chamber and praised the governor for signing it. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Thursday.